So we are in the end of, or the second half of, the Kenyatta Zirut, Acquiring Vigilance, in your editions on page 88, and the larger ones somewhere earlier than that. So what we just did was we discussed the three levels of how one acquires Zihirut, based on where one is in their own spiritual development. One who's at the very top, I guess, fired up about Judaism in general, about Torah, mitzvot, serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, and has Yirat Chet, which we defined as has Yirah of the impact that a Chet has in this world, and would never want that to happen. Second level of a person who strives for excellence and transferring that excellence to infinite excellence as opposed to finite, limited, and meaningless excellence, and kind of turning the tables and utilizing that midah in a way that will propel you toward not sinning. Again, vigilance being keeping myself from doing that which I shouldn't do. And the third level of just straight up fear of that lightning bolt and paganism and all that kind of stuff. Of Zeus shooting you down with a thunderbolt and, you know, that being the end of your life. So that we're the sense of just, no, literally like Kadosh Baruch Hu, he has Onesh, and actually looking at it more critically, not in that, you know, person in the sky throwing thunderbolts at you, but in a more critical way of seeing how a Kadosh Baruch Hu really judges us so finely, and how the greater you become, the more finely you're judged, and going through basically each and every one of, or many of the significant figures in Tanakh and Jewish history that the Gemara records, and how they were all judged kechut ha-se'ara, how they're all judged in an incredibly, incredibly fine way. Good? Together? There's only a few of you here, so if I don't have you, we've got nobody. We're good?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. Thank you. Tov. So the Chacham replies, Hamamar hazeh sheivita ata hine kashehu lichora. These different Gemaras that you quoted above are seemingly difficult. Ki eichav shar sheyani shakarash baruch hu onesh echad al hakalot ve'al hachamarot. How could a Kadosh Baruch Hu give the same punishments on averas that are lighter, quote unquote, and averas that are more serious, quote unquote? Meaning, you know, if we're talking about the sin that you know Yaakov Avinu had, in that he really, really wanted his daughter to not marry a Russia, but you could phrase it like that. So that was a sin for him, right? He also put his daughter in a box. That was a sin for him. But like, how could you judge him disfavorably in the same way as somebody eating pork? Like, what does that mean that a Kadosh Baruch Hu judges everybody? Like, fear sin, because look at all of these examples, but like, they're not comparable to most of us in our lives. Zidavar negad asekel v'negad mashe limdunu ha-chachamim zirchanan v'racha atzmam. This is against logic, and also against what our sages have taught us. Midash adam modeid ba modedim lo. Reading from the English, that retribution is meted out to a man with the very same measure he used in his deeds. Meaning, midah k'neged midah, as we kind of combine, you know, minimize it into a smaller phrase. Right? Midah k'neged midah. Kadosh Baruch Hu responds to us based on what we're doing. Echpotz lishmoa eich tifarshehu. And I'm desiring to hear how you're going to explain this. So says the Chassid. Vaday she'in kavanata ma'amar shiyeh ha'onesh al shtehen echad. Of course, the intention of those ma'amarim is that it's not that a Kadosh Baruch Hu punishes for both the light and the severe deeds equally. Achainyan she'ilan mishkala ma'asim kach olot be that in terms of measuring our deeds, so too do our more light offenses go on in the same way as our more stringent ones, meaning both count, both are taken into account, both weigh in. Kilo yashkichu hachamurot et hakalot. The graver sins don't disqualify, don't make us forget, doesn't make Kadosh Baruch Hu ignore the lighter sins. V'lo yalim hadayan einav mehem klal kasher lo yalim hachamurot. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't hide his eyes from either one. You see where he's going?
No.
Okay, good. I love Ramchal. It's even more exciting. I'm getting to do it with you. Again, I saw it months ago, but for like the first time, so to speak. Like, he builds in a very, very beautiful, methodical way. Ela al kulam yashgiach v'yifakach b'hashva'a achat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers them all equally. Ladun kol echad mehem ulhanish achar kach al kol echad kifi mashu. And each one is judged according to their deeds. V'mashu Shlomo HaMelech alav HaShlom Amar. This is what Shlomo HaMelech says. Ki et kol ma'aseh Elokim yaviv mishpat. As Shlomo HaMelech says in Kohelet, which means, you know, it's going to be an uppity quote, because God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil.
Milish kol ma'aseh tov
katan kamotshu, kim leyaniach milishpot ulaochia kol masera katan kamotshu. Meaning, in the same way that a Kadosh Baruch Hu repays our good deeds regardless of how large or small they may be, so too must he repay equally our bad deeds, no matter how large or small they may be. What we've quoted in many contexts in the Midrash, the pasuk, kizet leumat ze asa halokim, that everything in this world is created in balance. There's no games in this world, right? There's no easy way out. That everything is created b'mishkal. Everything is created with its exact opposite existent within the world. If you have tov, you have ra. Bechira chofshit requires two opposites. If a moment, with the way we talk about it in some other chabur, we're talking about the mo'adim, right? The more lofty the mo'ed, the greater ability is there is for it to have a negative side to it. To quote a different source, kol ha'mikudash mechaviro, mechulal mechaviro. The more potential that something has for kedusha, it has for chilul. Everything has to have equal and opposite potential and capacity, right? If in this world we're able to build up the world, we have equal and opposite capacity to destroy the world. But if we can destroy the world, we have equal and opposite capacity to build the world. But we have to have both. There always has to be balance. So too, if a Kadosh Baruch Hu if we expect a Kadosh Baruch Hu to repay us for the slightest of good deeds that we do, so too we have to accept a Kadosh Baruch Hu that he's also going to repay us on the negative side for the negative things that we do, Rahman al-Islam. But it all has to be in balance. Yeah?
Yeah.
You look like finals. You okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
Tov. Processing. Okay, tov. Ulotzi mi lev harotzim lihit patot v'lachashov shlo ye'aleh ha'adon baruch hu bedinav hadvarim ha'kalim v'lo yikach cheshbon aleihem. And that doesn't allow potential for a person to think, that to be straight and think that a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't, you know, he doesn't take those little things into account. Right? Would a person say that about their little mitzvot? Probably not. Like, no biggie. Like, I'm doing this thing. I'm just doing it to be, you know, it's annoying. I have to do it. It takes extra time. And, like, I know I'm not going to get anything, any scar for it because it's just a little mitzvah, so God doesn't care. But, like, hey, let's go for it. Like, nobody would do that. We assume that it's, a person would do that if they love a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but that's the whole point, is that it counts. It's meaningful. The little things are meaningful. Ela klalahu, what's the klal? Kol ha'omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu vatranhu, yivatrun me'ohi. Right? This is a fairly famous Midrash Chazal that he says that whoever says the Holy One, blessed be he, is lax in the execution of justice, let his entrails come loose. Nice visual. Anybody who was on the quad yesterday knows what that looks like. So, were you there? Did you hear about that? There were people running. Evidently, there was a hawk attacking a dead squirrel on the quad,
really?
And there was like hundreds of people standing around
so
watching.
Scary.
Like, but like, evidently it was really graphic.
It's so scary.
Like, parental advisory required.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody brought a iPhone video back to Hillel.
Oh no!
It was after lunch, at least. But evidently there was like, and classic campus security was like just standing there, like. Mm. I don't know, we'll shoot it away, I don't know, but they were just like standing there like everybody else, like they didn't know what to do. But anyway, that a Kaddish, but usually when people quote this, unlike the Ramchal, they don't quote the end of the quote, they just say, anybody who says that a Kaddish Baruch Hu is lax, ... that's usually how you see it in Sfarim, but the idea is that a Kaddish Baruch Hu, in saying that a Kaddish, never let anybody think, meaning a Kaddish Baruch Hu says this, and like this is an important tenet of Judaism, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not more lax with the Jewish people because he loves us. He's not more lax with the Jewish people because we're their chosen people. In fact, probably it's lehefech. Like, we only have more responsibilities and more opportunity to mess up. But the Gemara says, don't ever think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is lax on the Jewish people because we're his chosen people. And all you need is history to prove that. Right? History of God has never gone easy on us when we've made mistakes.
How does this kind of balance with the Midah Rachamim that, like, we believe Hashem is always like
us? How do all of these different things interact? That's a Chumash question, also in terms of Rachamim being linked to Tiferet. And what is how does Kadosh Baruch Hu balance all of the different puppet strings of the Midot, of the Zion Midot? That's a question for another time. But he's saying that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is judging all things equally. V'chein amru. Im omer lecha yitzer ra chato v'akadosh baruch hu mochel lecha al tashmielo. If the yitzer ha says to you that sin and the Holy One blessed be he will forgive you, sin and akadosh baruch hu will forgive you, don't listen to it. Meaning that's the yitzer ha talking to you. Meaning akadosh baruch hu is, meaning not to say that akadosh baruch hu won't be mochel you on Yom Kippur if you do tshuva, all these things, but akadosh baruch hu is not just going to give you a free pass because you're you. That doesn't happen. Akadosh baruch hu judges. So where is this all going? This is something simple and clear. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is true. He's meaning emet is in fact in the Gemara is the signature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a particular Gemara wants to say that he agrees to something, he sends a petek down, basically giving his signing off on it, and it's a petek that comes down just with the word emet on it. That emet is the signature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is emet. That's why Olam Haba is called Olam Ha. Emet, because we're going to a place where we're face-to-face with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and there's nothing but truth. Emet is the signature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hu ma she'amar Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Hatzor tamim po'olo, ki chol drachav mishpat, kel emuna ve'ein avel, tadik v'yashar hu. He says, "There's the rock. The war, his work is perfect. For all his ways are justice. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right, and right is he." Where would a very flowery, fluffy pasuk like that by Moshe Rabbeinu appear? Pop quiz. Hazinu, excellent. Yeah, it has to come from Hazinu. It's the very, very beginning of the song of Hazinu. Tov, but the point is there. He calls him an kelamunav ein avel tzedik v'yasharhu. That Kadosh Baruch Hu is somebody who's righteous in his judgment. Ki kivan shekadosh Baruch Hu rotzev mishpat. The Kadosh Baruch Hu wants mishpat, right? Ki kol drachav mishpat. All his ways are justice. All his ways are mishpat. Hine kachu over al hamishpat. Halem et ha'ayin min hazchut kimo min hachova. Meaning he would be over. How would you translate that? If he were to ignore or overlook judgment, whether by schut or chova, that would be a breach of mishpat. Right? It's not just meaning what makes a judge a good judge is not their ability, like you talked about Rachman. Rachman is an important concept and aspect mm-hmm. of the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu guides the world. But a judge, as a judge in a box, mm-hmm. right? A judge who simply is like, oh, God have mercy. Right. Listen, he didn't know, it's hard to tell. He won't do it again. Like, we'd have a very weak justice system that way, right? The answer is you have a code of law and you follow it. So if we do good, we want response. If we do bad, you have to have response. He wouldn't be kol drachav mishpat if he overlooked the bad stuff. Okay. Im mishpat rotzef, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants justice. Tzarik sheyitein lechol ish kidrachav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to give each person according to his way. Ugefim al alav. He has to judge them very, very carefully. Bein letov, bein lemutav. Whether for good or whether for bad. V'hainu, kel emunav ein avel tzedik v'yashar hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu is a God of faithfulness and without and isn't corrupted. He is totally righteous and straight. Shepirshu zichron levracha Kadosh Baruch Hu. The rabbis, as the rabbis understand, let tzadikim and rishayim, both for the tzadikim and the rishayim. Kikach u'amida vaday, v'alakol hudan, because he is, this is exactly what that attribute is about, and this is how he judges, v'alakol chet huma anish, and by every sin he punishes, v'ein lihim alayt, and there's no escape from this.
So we answered the question.
I wanted to actually just skim forward to see. And actually, he's going to next talk about Midat HaRachamim. So we're going to get to your question, which is awesome. Which also, again, like I said, as I keep saying, shows that right. The Ramchal is in tune with you, and you're in tune with the Ramchal, which is how it's supposed to be. So we'll talk about Rachamim in a second. So how does he answer the question? So he already started talking, I assumed he was going to spell out the answer to the question. But what that means is, I assume what he's saying here is that. And this is my interpretation, because he did not explicitly seemingly answer the question. That for a person who has hugely egregious sins, their light sins don't really count on the scale, simply because they're not adding much. Which is not to say that Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't respond to our light sins. But if he's saying here, that's how he started off, talking about everything's on a scale and everything counts and everything weighs in. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges everything and counts everything equally. But if he counts everything equally, it means, in a very beautiful way, it's saying not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is harsher on tzaddikim, but rather the sin of a tzaddik may be all he has on the other side of the scale. And so the little bit that it causes it to teeter has to be responded to. But you take anyone, if you take myself... So if I were to put my daughter in a box to keep her away from my half-brother, right? Which I would do because it's us, but not because of any other reason. I'm saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu might put that feather on the scale, but it's not really going to do much because I've got a lot of other things to worry about first. That's what I assume he means. If you look back, I think that's what he was starting off with. Right?
Yeah.
Right. The idea is rather than when one's deeds are weighed, the light offenses go on the scales just as his weighty ones do. That's how we started off this whole discussion. And I think although he didn't kind of clarify it at the very end point, his point here is everything counts, but the nature of its counting depends on where your scales are holding. That's how I understood it. Do you understand it differently?
I guess I understood it. I think it's the same way, just like explained slightly differently. Like I was thinking it was like Hashem holds him to a higher standard because he expects more of them. So I guess because he holds him to a higher standard, that one sin would almost count more. Which is kind of like what you were saying about how it's the only thing.
I think that's a way of saying it in a way which doesn't require Kadosh Baruch Hu to kind of change his just nature of justice when judging. I think that what you could be is descriptive of the natural order of justice.
Okay, it's just a lot in my mind, so I'm trying to like process it all. Tough,
all in good time. So the Chacham comes and the Ramchal addresses directly Halana's question. Shivat Chatova, your answer is good. Omnam adayin yakshev, but I still have a question. Midat rachamim lama hi omedet umato eletba. Right, exactly what you asked. So what's the point of the midat rachamim? I shouldn't have said it's for another place. If you asked it, then Mistam of the Ramchal was going to address it. Im al kol panim sarich ledadik bedin al kol davar. Right, of what use is justice if everything is rachamim if everything is judged with such precision? Amar chasid midat rachamim hu vaday kiyumo shel olam. The midah of rachamim is for sure that which allows the world to continue sustaining itself. There could be no ability for the world to sustain itself without the midah of rachamim. But despite this, it doesn't damage the midah of din. How so? V'hainu, ki achul hadin atzmo leheasot berachamim v'shelo berachamim. Because din, I think he's saying here that din can act with or without rachamim. Yeah. Kihine lefi shurat hadin mamash hayaraoi shachote yanesh miad tekef lechetol bli hamtana klal. According to midat hadin, a person should be punished immediately for their sin without any delay. There should be no delay. It should be time punishment, especially if you're God. There's no, you know, you don't get backed up in with the number of cases that you have coming into the courtroom. You're God, right? So sin response, right? God can act immediately, simultaneously in an infinite number of ways. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu responds to each sin immediately. And that the response should be with anger. Karaoy, as is appropriate, lemishem mamre piaborei barach shmo, for one who rebels against the word of God. Remember what we talked about before, that when one sins, one is literally rebelling against the king. If you had a human king and somebody went and disobeyed the explicit law of a king in the time where kings actually had power, right? And in our day and age, you could be the top of the world and you can't even get past your own house, so to speak, literally and figuratively. You know, you've got your stop. You can stop the process. There's no power by kings in the Western world. Anybody who's followed the news over the last 4 years knows what I'm talking about, certainly over the last 6 months. No? Anybody I'm talking to, people are totally oblivious to what I'm talking about. I feel so good. I know current events better than... like, the President of the United States can't even act because... There are other elements of his government. He's the king. He's the king of the Western world. But he can't even do anything. And the second that he tries to express executive action, he gets yelled at for abusing power. So we don't have. I'm just emphasizing the fact that we have no concept of what power by a leader actually means. A king in the good old days, right? The king in the good old days. You know, when they rebelled against the king, he chopped off his head. There was no discussion. There was no back and forth. There was no checks and balances. I'm not advocating for this necessarily, by the way, unless it's a Jewish king. We see in other countries where there are dictators that's not a good thing. But the idea there is that if a person sins, the response is you sin against the king. If you rebel. Sinning against God is like rebelling against the king. If you're rebelling against the king, your head gets chopped off. That's it.
Doesn't Mozart got in a lot of trouble.
What?
I'm thinking about finals. That's why Mozart got into a lot of trouble.
That's why who? Mozart. Yeah. Okay, but see, I'm saying like everybody gets into So my point is that should be the immediate response. That's midat adin. That's midat adin. That's an emes midat adin. That there should be no opportunity to even fix it. There's no tshuva process by a king. There's no back door. There's no tunneling under a king's throne to get through a back. What kind of that? Those are Gemaras that are talking about our way to get back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with tshuva, because it's above and beyond any concept within the human realm.
Are we to take into account whether we're talking Mamezid here?
Or like, not necessarily. Depends on the king. Right. Depends on which king you're talking about at which point in history. But some kings don't care.
Right, but I feel like it would be considered rebellion if you knew the word and then rebelled. Like, I feel like
it's also considered rebellion if you don't do the word of the king and you didn't spend the time to figure it out. You live in my country, you have to know my laws.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
There are kings who certainly would respond that way.
But I argue that it's also Mamezid because you're purposely not like going out of your way to learn it. You get what I'm saying?
That would be the way that a king to himself would justify executing somebody for doing something by accident, which was against the law of the land.
Right. Yeah, I guess it makes sense to me.
Yeah. I mean, what's frightening if that does make sense to you, because then you've got a lot of halacha to learn. Meaning, again, if you take that the point of the mashal and inshal there is every time we sin, we're chayav misa, which is wild. That was the idea of korbanos. And then again, assumably, HaKadosh Baruch Hu there is making a statement of the fact that b'mezid, you don't bring a korban if you do something b'shogeg. B'mezid. No, hafuch, I'm sorry, I take that all back. But that's the concept of korbanos is that you transfer, you have to viscerally feel the process of transferring your sin over to the animal and then watch that animal get its head chopped off. Why? Because you're supposed to feel that that's what's supposed to happen to me.
Right.
The Ramban comments there that if a person doesn't feel that, then it's a shechita levatala. then it's just tzar balei chayim. That the only way a korban is meaningful is if you actually relate to what's happening in that moment in front of you, or else it's not machaper and it's mamish animal rights activists have what to talk about. For a real korban, they have nothing to talk about. For a korban like that, they have what to complain about. It's not going anywhere. But that's the whole point. A person needs to actually viscerally feel that process. Same thing when we do tshuva, when we clap al chetz on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and the Aseret Tshuva. When we say slach lanu in tefillah every day, a person needs to think like what it means to really apologize before the king and to imagine what the response should have been and that it's not because of God's mercy, which is what we're going to talk about.
It's crazy. It's like really insane.
Yeah,
it's
intense.
So it has that about. In like the Shir Malitz we say very often, I think in Kuf Lamed, where it says like, if you judge, I think it's Kuf Lamed, maybe not, I don't know. Like if you judged all of us like according to how we're supposed to judge, like nobody would still.
That's how he opened with Midat Rachamim Vaday Kumo Shel Olam Shel Yamet Kayim Klaus. That's what he's talking about here. Without Midat Rachamim, the world would have been hit. The history of the world would have been a very very short history.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. Kinei Be'emet. How could a person fix that which he distorted? The chet has already been done. How do you do that? There's once a beautiful, I don't know if it's necessarily true, meaning if you really understand what tshuva is about, but there was actually this, when I was a counselor in camp many, many years ago, there was a person who gave a beautiful mashal that what is tshuva? A person crumples up a piece of paper and throws it out. Then they take it out of the garbage can because they want it back. And they straighten it out and put under a whole pile of books. So they can use the piece of paper, but you can never get rid of the deep crinkles that are in the paper. Tshuva is what makes the paper flat again. Meaning,
completely.
It wipes out, right. Meaning it's not just fixes what you did wrong, but brings you to a place back that's even before this had happened. Now, I don't know if that's 100% true in terms of what tshuva does, in the sense that I think that a person does go through a process of tshuva, and in fact, they're a totally different person because of the tshuva. And the fixing they do actually elevates them even more so. You know, maybe you end up with a clean piece of paper that's even whiter than it was, right? I don't know how you fit into the mashal. But the point is there that tshuva is lamala min ateva. It's one thing to straighten that which you've broken, but to straighten it in a way where it never looks like it was bent in the first place. That's lamala min ateva of tshuva. And that's what he's saying here. How can you get to a place where it's like you never did the sin? It happened. You can't undo that. If a person kills Rahman al-Tan, another person. If a person, Rahman al-Tan, commits adultery. How does a person undo that? You can't undo that. It happened. The person is dead. The adultery was done. How can you take away the action from the reality? You can't. You can't separate the two. Omnam, so what does Midat HaRachamim do? Midat HaRachamim hi notenet shiyutan zman lachote velo yikached min haaretz miyad kishachata. What Midat HaRachamim does is that it gives the sinner the opportunity to have the time that he's not destroyed from this earth immediately after he sins, and can actually have time to fix it. V'sheha onesh atzmo lo ye'ad l'chalya, and that this, and also that the punishment shouldn't be destruction, meaning it lessens slightly the severity of the punishment and delays the administration of the punishment. Which is a different way of looking at rachamim, and is more emphatic in terms of what rachamim is. V'shetshuva tinatein lachotim bechesed gamur, and tshuva itself is given. That's a pure chesed. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created tshuva, that's a chesed. Shetechashiv akirat haratzon kaakirat amaseh, that tshuva, the chiddush of tshuva is that removing my ratzon to do the thing, removing what my inclination to have wanted to do that negative act, even though I already did it, that it can be like just like remove that the tshuva process that I go through, that I remove that aspect of myself that wanted to do it, that was able to perform that sin, that's like removing the sin itself. That's the chesed gamur. That's mamash lamal min hateva. The rachamim delays the punishment and perhaps lessens its severity slightly if it needs to be meted out, to give us time to do tshuva. That's his definition of rachamim. Rachamim is a delay of time and a slight delay in the nature of the punishment itself. Has anybody ever heard that as a definition of rachamim before? You want to say yes, just to fill it out? Let's dig it to the bottom of the paragraph, and if not, we'll actually unpack the word. The word itself actually hints to this. As it has to, meaning the word embodies the essence. Dehainu, shebiyot hashav makirat chato, when a person does tshuva and recognizes their sin, umodebo, and admits to it, umidbonen al ra'ato, and contemplates the evil that he did, v'shav umitzcharet alav, and he does tshuva and he regrets it, charata gmura, full regret, demeikara, to a place where he comes, into a place from where he started from before he sinned, gecharatat haneder mamash, like charatat neder, where a person says, like, had I known what I know now, I never would have taken the neder before in the first place. I'm mamish saying that I never would have done it. I'm going back to a root place in myself. Shumit nachem lagame, that a person is totally lets it go. Vayachafetz umishtokek shemeolam lo naaseh adavarahu, and a person desires and just wants deeply on such a level, like he never did the thing in the first place. Umitzta'er b'libo, and again, this is real tshuva he's talking about here. This is real tshuva. If you want to, you can make an asterisk and come back to this on Elulzman next year. Right? This is what real tshuva is about. Umitzta'er b'libo, and he feels pain in his heart. Tsar chazak, a deep pain, al shekvar naseh adavar, that he did that thing. V'ozevoto lahabao uvoreach menu, and totally leaves it away for the future, and runs away from it, that he's never going to go back to it. Hinei akirat adavar, so no, this type of truly removing it from my essence, from my rutzon, from the deepest places of being. I'm removing it from my maisa, I'm removing it from my action, I'm removing it from my leave, I'm removing it from my heart, I'm removing it from my my dibor, from my speech, from my moach, from my mind, from my rutzon. I'm removing it from my very place of desire itself. In the process of bringing about something into the world, I'm going to the deepest place of myself and uprooting it from there. Then a Kaddish Baruch Hu will consider that like removing the action itself. That he'll remove the sin from its source. Like removing a neder where a person, it's as though he never took the neder in the first place when you do ataras nedarim. And get true kapara for what you did. And this is what the pasuk says. V'sar avonecha v'chatatcha t'chupar. Your iniquity is gone and your sin is atoned for, meaning it's totally gone, it's totally removed. Sha'avon sar mamash, it's actually removed. Me'am mitziyut, from reality. V'ne'akar b'masha achshav mitzta'eru mitnachem amasha ayelam afreya. And it's uprooted and it's removed now because of the pain that a person had on it. And the regrets, even though it was something which was already previously done. So let's pause for a second and just unpack the word rachamim, because that's where we started from and redefined. What word is related to rachamim? No. This is a word. Rechem. What's a rechem? Mm-hmm. A womb. What is the purpose of a womb?
Nurture,
develop. Why? Why shouldn't a baby be born after 1 month?
For growth.
Why shouldn't it just be born after 1 month? Let it grow outside.
Needs time.
Why?
The outside can't sustain it.
It would die.
Right.
A womb, a rechem, is what's provided to give the person or the coming person time to develop, to grow, to mature to a place where it can then actually sustain itself. It's the delay of time to allow one to sustain oneself in this world. Rachamim is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you have a death sentence on you, but I'm going to hold you in the womb, so to speak, and I allow you time to develop that you're no longer deserving of this death penalty through the process of tshuva.
That's really cool.
Kacha. Again, it's right in the center of the word, just nobody talks about it. Rachamim is Milashon Rechem.
Okay, why isn't that more discussed?
I suspect because it's something which, unless you read this Ramchal, I got it through a Masorah, meaning I didn't know it was explicit in the Ramchal, which is just nice to have a source to quote it and not just say it outside. He didn't explain the connection, but he defined it in a way where the two now clearly are linked. That Ramchal gave you the linkage. But if you walk up to somebody right on the street and say, what's the connection between mercy and the womb? Like, it's just a hard thing. It requires contemplation. It requires hid bonanut. It requires hid bodedut. It requires all of these things that we say are lacking in this generation. So that's the problem. You have to really spend the time to unpack, why are these two things linked? Every time you see two words that have the same root, they're intrinsically linked. That's the beauty of Lashon HaKodesh. It's Kodesh. It's not Stam. It's certainly not Mikra. It's not Chilul. It's not Keri. It's Kadosh. So if it's Kadosh, then one has to assume that there's an infinite linkages that can be made there. And if so, too, what are they? How do I come to that? You can put it on the shelf to give it time for Hit Bonanut, right? But if you see that there's a connection, there has to be a connection. Has to be a connection. One of the favorite things that when you hear these kind of nice ideas that require much more thought, but you run with them because they're a nice idea. So one of the things that I was always bothered, just quick anecdote, I'll try to keep it short so we can get back to the safer, but same thing, we're just never lose that sense of always searching for more and to go deeper. Everybody always likes to quote the nice vort of why is davening lihit palel in lashon hit pael? So what is the classic answer that's given? It's reflexive. It's an internal process, right? That's great if you don't believe in God. I struggle with that. It's a nice idea. When I daven, I don't hear God's answer because tefillah is really a reflexive process of growth. Okay, but then you're undermining the whole concept that there's relationship involved in tefillah. I don't know who said it first. If a gadol said it, then it's 100% true, and it's one aspect of it. If it wasn't a gadol who first said it, then it was probably because they didn't feel close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning, it's a nice way of getting out of the relationship part of tefillah.
So what's a better answer?
So I said I don't accept that, and I want to give it more thought because that's not my understanding of tefillah. If it's right, then I have to reiterate my understanding of tefillah. And the answer is yes, there is a growth-oriented piece of tefillah, and of course it's also reflexive, but that can't be the whole story. I'll give you another word that's in the same form. Hitchatein.
Well, but that's because when you get.
One second. What is hitchatein? Is that also reflexive?
No, it's to get. I mean, it is, but it's hitpael. I just learned this. I'm in Hebrew class.
Yeah.
Hitpael has some form. Some of the verbs are reciprocity, between two people. So lehitchatein, you get married. Your two people are getting married to each other. So it's the same thing with
So Hebrew language is going to say that some reflexives are reflexives, and some reflexives are bidirectional.
Yeah.
And we're going to divide them into two categories.
Hitbael has a few different meanings.
Or
mean different things.
Or they're one and the same. Okay. What happens in the process of marriage? It's the other half of myself.
Okay, that's another way to put it.
1 + 1 = 1.
But it's not the only shorash that's like that.
But I'm saying there's more dimensions than simply saying it's reflexive and therefore it's about you and not about God. But in the same way that marriage is, I think, both reflexive and interpersonal, tefillah, I think, also is reflexive and interpersonal. In fact, similar in the same way that marriage is. I'm looking at part of myself, my chelak elokam ima'al, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is within me. Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu im ayin is the first question that's the downfall of the Jewish people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is within me. And I'm relating to that, and I'm growing by reflexively seeing inside myself my connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the same way that a marriage is reflexive, it's the other half of myself, but it's still another person. Yes, 1 + 1 = 1, and that's a magical equation. But you also need both of the ones to get to the one. All parts of that statement require spiritual contemplation. So I'm just saying, in all of these instances, don't just let things go. Let them sit until you have the hidbonenut to come up with what's going on there, build something out of it. Where is it going? And then suddenly my whole tefillah changed. I am looking deep down inside myself to fix my relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu as I'm talking to him. As I'm digging to deeper levels of God within myself. It's a very different tefillah. Very, very different tefillah. And it doesn't cut God out of the picture. All room for hidbonenut. Food for thought. You look particularly contemplative.
Yes.
Is there anything you'd like to share?
No.
Is there anything you'll share despite the fact that you don't want to share it?
No.
Okay. Sad for us. It's all good. Tov. V'zeh chesed gadol. So now we're coming back to he was talking about tshuva here as being, you know, that legitimately being supernatural, so to speak. V'zeh chesed gadol she'eino mishurat adin. That's totally outside of the realm of din. Ach al kol panim hineu chesed she'ein machish midat adin. But it's a chesed which doesn't lessen the midat adin. Shereyish tzad litlot bo. There's what to make this dependent upon. Shetachat haratzon shnitratza b'chit v'hana'a sheneheneh mimenu ba'ata hanechama v'hatza'ar. For there is a case to be made that his will to sin and the pleasure he derived from it have been offset by regret and suffering. V'chin ach arichut hazman eninu vitaron alachit. Meaning, he's saying that that's a really wild understanding of it. That if you really go through the tshuva process, it's such a difficult, gut-wrenching process that your yotze, your punishment, through going through the process of tshuva, if it's real tshuva. That's really beautiful. That's very deep. That's one. And two is, v'chein achrichut hazman enenu vitaron alachit. Giving a longer amount of time for this punishment to come about is not simply ignoring the sin. Ela savlanut ksar is a little bit of patience. Liftoach lo petach tikun, to allow for fixing. That's not the same thing. Meaning, once you understand that rachamim is a time delay, you're not overriding judgment, you're delaying judgment. It's not the same thing. And if you assume that the tshuva itself is in place, the difficulty of the tshuva is in place of the difficulty of the punishment, then you're also yotzi the din of the punishment. V'chein kol shar darchei chesed, so too by every chesed, ke'inyan bra mizakeh abba, like a son helps acquit his father, o miktzat nefesh kechol hanefesh, that part of a life is like taking a whole life, whatever those particular instances may be relating to. Hamuzkarim b'mamrei chachamim, as it says in Chazal, darchei chesed heim lekabel atamuat kimarbeh. It's chesed to accept the small like the great. Ach lo mitnagdim umachishim mamash midat din. It's not totally overriding and ignoring midat din. It's not throwing out the court case. It's slightly augmenting the nature of the din in a way that allows for the sustaining of a person's life and fulfillment of their avodas Hashem in this world, despite the negative actions they may have taken. It's augmenting the din. It's not overriding the din. And therefore, the din is still allowed to enact. Ki kvar yesh ta'am ba'hem hagun l'hachashiv otam. There's a legitimate argument to be made for accounting the sins as such, meaning there's a legitimate claim to be made to relate to the sin and to the judgment for that sin in the way that we're relating to it, incorporating these aspects of chesed, of tshuva, of rachamim, in a way that doesn't remove din. It augments it, but it doesn't remove it. Ach shivatru averot belo klum. But to totally be mevatir on sins without any response, o shelo yishkach alehem, or to ignore them, pretend they didn't happen, zehaya neged adin lagamrei. That's overriding din. That's destroying the court system. That's burning down the court. That's removing the midah of din. Ki kvar lo haya mishpat v'din amiti badvarim. Then there's no din at all. Al kein ze ef shar lihimatzei klal. That would never work. That's not part of a Kadosh Baruch Hu system of how we got to the world. V'im ba'achat min hadrachim asher zacharnu lo yimatzei lachotei lihimaleit. And if, despite all of the things that we just discussed, for a person to be able to get by judgment, the person doesn't do their due diligence to try to get themselves out of, get themselves past, to get to take these other potential routes by which to see deen fulfilled without receiving the full blunt of the punishment. Then a person is going to experience the full blunt force of the din. Again, these are holding patterns. If a person doesn't take advantage of them, then the din will come. As our sages say, Marich ape vegabe delay. He is long suffering, but ultimately collects his due. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to be Marich af, is willing to be Marich, is willing to wait. But you can't get out of din. Either you fulfill it through the tzar of tshuva. You're given enough time that you can go around and get around it. You can lessen it if it'll allow you to go forward in this world. But there's no way to totally remove din. Yefshar. Nimsa she'en la'adam harotzet lifkoach inav pitoy shiuchal lihitpatot bo livilti hizaher b'masav tachlit hazirut v'dakdek pam tachlit hadikduk. Therefore, and I assume that this is the wrap-up of all three opinions, meaning going all the way back to the beginning of this chapter, right? Anyone who wishes to open up their eyes has no possible way for anything to entice him, to pull him away, but has to be, at the end of the day, zahir in every single thing that he does to the smallest possible extent. Meaning a person has to be zahir, whether they're opening up their eyes because of their understanding of the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is of the world spiritually, or they're opening their eyes because they want to get the covenant in the next world, or they're opening their eyes because they recognize that every sin is related to, whether large or small, regardless of the impact that's felt. Meaning, like, I don't think anybody after this would say, like, I'm a huge chote, so, you know, like, so I don't care that I'm also doing little sins. Like, no, the idea here is that his point is they all count, and they're all responded to. So you may not feel it, because if you're so busy getting punched in the gut for this big sins that you do, you might not feel, you know, the slap on the wrist. But it doesn't mean you're not getting slapped on the wrist also. It doesn't mean there's not going to be repercussions also. So a person needs to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responding here. So for all of these reasons that a person has, that zihirut. These are all possible ways to look at the world where a person can, through these means, acquire the midah of zihirut. In baal nefesh, if a person is a baal nefesh, meaning a person has to you know, strive for excellence, has to have some innate ratzon to actually want to have zirut. But if a person wants zirut and says, but how do I acquire it? A person needs any of these means to adequately acquire zirut. Tov ma'od kol asher dibarta. This is all good what you said, Sister Chacham. Atat v'reish mahi mafsidei hamida hazot u'marchikeha lema'an archik mehem. Now, the last piece for me, says the Chacham, and this is going to be the way he goes through each midah by midah, you know, is defining it, how to acquire it, and what can keep one from it. Now explain to me those things which can withhold from me the acquisition of the midah of zirut. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in the world? What is my Yetzer Hara going to link into? What is the Zelu Matzeh Asa Elokim that's going to pull me away from being Zahir? That's the last piece of the puzzle. So, B'zrat Hashem, next time we'll continue with the Mafsidei Zihirut, that which keeps us from the Midah of Zihirut.